All right, we're going to look at Acts chapter 16 this morning. Let's read the first five verses, and here we go. Then he, meaning Paul, he came to Derbe and Lystra, and he, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and so he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. I love how the constant report is given in the book of Acts of how the church was strengthened and increased in numbers on a regular basis. That's just a great way of how they describe, even through the interesting things that they went through and the challenges that they went through, the church constantly grew. Now, as you remember from last week, we looked at John Mark and his struggles to grow up and to be responsible and to be mature. And we also then are today looking at a new person introduced for the very first time, this man being Timothy, whom you'll see Paul adopts as his spiritual son during his second missionary tour. Timothy was also the subject of the book 1 and 2 Timothy that Paul actually wrote to Timothy, and Timothy was actually a young pastor. He became a young pastor of a church in that area there. And so a great young man who became an impactful man for the kingdom of God. But both John Mark and Timothy, they were young and they had a lot to learn. As we see with John Mark last week, and also as we look and read the books of 1 and 2 Timothy, there was a lot for them to learn, but they both eventually impacted the world for the cause of Christ. They both were powerful eventually. Ultimately, in what they did for the work of the Lord. Now, I want to, as we're moving into Christmas here, I know it's important for us to learn from these two young men's examples, but as we're coming on the birth of Jesus and just celebrating his birth, I'm reminded this morning of Jesus in his life as a youth. Now, this might resonate maybe with some of you who are here as young teens and teenagers, and all of us have been in this place, a young teen and a teenager at one point in our lives. But I just want to spend a few minutes here this morning looking at the young Jesus's life before he launched into his public ministry when he was 30 years old. He spent the first 30 years in relative obscurity. And I just was wondering what his first 30 years were like for him. I did a little research on that. There's really not a whole lot for us to go on. We know what his infancy was like a little bit. His childhood, not so much. His teen years, not so much. His early adult life, really not so much. Here's what we have. We have pretty much one verse that kind of helps us to fill in that 30-year gap. And it's found in Luke chapter 2, verse 52. And it says this. It says, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and with men. And that's what we have. And so you actually can look at that, and if you're not careful, you may at first glance see that this is maybe not much to go on. But actually, you know, there is. So I just have to ask these questions. What was life like for the boy Jesus? Was he the smartest in his class? I don't know. Was he the teacher's pet? Maybe. Did he excel beyond any others in athletics if he played those, you know, sports back then, whatever sports they had? Did his sinless life frustrate his siblings? I would probably say yes. How skilled was he as a worker? Was his carpentry work always perfect? I don't know. It really doesn't say. I think that we, all of us, maybe imagine Jesus as the smartest, the kindest, the most skilled, the most respectful, the absolutely most perfect child, perfect boy, the perfect teenager and young adult that ever lived. And I would tend to and necessarily not agree with. I would not disagree with you. I would say that he was all of these things. And I don't want to bring Jesus down to a level of us in the sense that he is fully God. But at the same time, we have to understand that not only was he fully God, but he was also fully man. And so this verse really speaks to that. And as I look at this boy Jesus, this teen Jesus, and this man that ultimately, you know, developed into a full-fledged minister and changed the world at 30 years old, how in the world could we ever measure up to the boy Jesus or the teen Jesus or the young adult Jesus or the adult Jesus if he was all these things and more? How could God ever use us and be pleased with us or accept us in our fallen and sinful and less than perfect lifestyle and ways? I don't know if you've ever asked that question to yourself. How could God use me? I know that many times I've asked the Lord the same thing. How could God use me? But he still does. And I look and hold myself up in comparison to Christ and realize how far I have to go, and yet he still chooses to use me, and I'm so thankful for that. Another part of what we need to look at this morning is what about this routine, mundane, day-to-day responsibilities and activities that we go through, and are they preparing us for anything? Are they making a difference in our lives? Does this day and do these things count for anything in our lives? This, I'm going to work today, and I'm taking the kids to school today, and I'm cleaning the house today, and I'm doing the chores today, and I'm doing my homework today, and I'm doing these things that I have to do today. I'm having engagements with different people and dealing with different personalities in different situations in my life. Do these things amount to anything? Do they count for something? This mundane, this routine, day-to-day stuff that we go through that's not, explosive, fireworks and profound things that you want to document in your journal if you do, like, wow, today was just an incredible day. No, today was a regular routine day. And that's not something that you necessarily journal. So do those things count for something? And I would say this morning that the answer is yes. And in fact, I'm certain of it. Because God doesn't waste anything. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. The mundane, the routine, the day-to-day stuff. Does that count for anything? I want us to look at this verse one more time. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men. Now, I want us to look at this a little more closely because it didn't say that Jesus didn't have room to grow. In fact, it's just the opposite. Jesus grew in wisdom. Now, we understand about the whole thing about stature. Every one of us, if we're around long enough, grow in physical stature. We grow up. We get bigger. We turn from a child to an adult. That's by God's design. But Jesus also grew in wisdom. He grew in wisdom. So he didn't come out of the womb completely wise, is what we read here. Jesus learned. Jesus gave place to wisdom. Jesus experienced difficult times as well as when he faced with the choices to be wise and unwise, he took the wisdom route. Every time he had a situation in front of him, he chose the wise route, not the unwise route. He learned as he went along. He was faced with challenging circumstances in his life. Learning at school, he had to learn just like everybody else. 1 + 1 = 2. Navigating through difficult relationships. I'm sure that not everybody that he dealt with as he was a child and a teen and a young adult was easy to get along with, but he had to learn how to navigate through difficult relationships in his life. He had to learn to perfect the skills of being a carpenter. He didn't automatically square and plumb and do everything as it needed to be. He had to learn from his father and others. There was other things that he had to learn and other things that we all face as we go through our stages and seasons of life that we have to learn as well. And what Jesus did is he used those times as opportunities to grow in godly wisdom. I'm so thankful that we don't have to be perfect this morning. I'm so thankful that God gives us opportunities to grow in wisdom. Amen. Each test, each challenge, each difficult situation is an opportunity for us to gain godly wisdom, and let us desire to gain godly wisdom in our lives. As Jesus grew in wisdom, let's be like Christ and also grow in godly wisdom. Now, the opposite of that, the world's example, the flesh's example, what our flesh wants to do is that we want to freak out. We want to give in. We want to act like the world. We want to choose to live in fear. We want to choose to live in doubt. We want to choose to live in despair. We can do all those things, or we can step back when we're faced with these situations, whatever they may be, and ask God for wisdom to help navigate us through the minefields of life's emotional, relational, mental, physical, and spiritual challenges in our life. There's always going to be things that are going to face you. And I'm looking around this congregation now, knowing stories of people and the things that they have faced in their lives and maybe they're facing right now. And I want to encourage you to not go the flesh route, to not go with the world's example. But let's find out what godly wisdom is in this situation that you're facing. And let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us and to navigate us through. I know you have a right to be upset. You have a right to be frustrated. You have a right to be these things in some regard. But those emotions that are there should not rule your choice making. You should instead submit those things to the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, would you take the reins of my emotions? Would you take the reins of everything that I'm going through right now, the things that I'm thinking? Would you take the reins of my life and my being and guide me by your Holy Spirit so that I might gain godly wisdom? Now, the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. Did you know that we, you, and I have the mind of Christ? So we need to think like he thinks. You know, that old phrase with the bracelet says, what would Jesus do? Is so perfectly describing what I'm talking about this morning. We have the Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit. We have the personality of Christ, the thoughts of Christ, the emotions of Christ, the being of Christ living inside of us to help us, to empower us, and to help us to take the wisdom route every time. Each test, big or small, is an opportunity for us to grow in godly wisdom just as Jesus did. That's the first part of this, that he grew in godly wisdom. The second part of this short verse describes Jesus growing up in years, says that he grew in favor with both God and men. Now, this tells us that he was successful in overcoming and dealing with the challenges that he faced, in that through them, God and men both looked upon him with approval and high regard. Now, here's my question to you this morning. Have you ever blown it? Have you ever lost your cool? Have you ever shown yourself in front of people? Have you ever taken the low road or chose the world's path when faced with a choice? Now, you profess to be a Christian. We profess to be Christians. And the world, as a result of that, is watching us. And when I mean the world, your spouse is watching you. Your children are watching you. Your other family members are watching you. Your coworkers are watching you. It's not just folks outside of your home. It's people inside and outside your home are watching you. And they're seeing how you're going to respond to things. You know, we need to be careful as we profess to be Christians, which implies that we should act one way. But in fact, we act and speak and live many times that are anything but. You see, that's not growing in favor with God or man when we act out in such a way where the world says, meaning our family and those inside and outside of the four walls of our home, say, well, if that's what being a Christian is, then I guess I'm a Christian too. We need to be careful, don't we? In the things that we say, in the things that we do, that everything that we say and do matters. Those, what I'll call again, routine, mundane things that we go through in our lives, the things that come up and surprise us in our lives, the things that we face that we know we're going to face, emotional and physical and mental things that we deal with as we know we're getting ready to face our coworker, that same person that gives us a fit every time, that same person at school that gives us a fit every time, that same neighbor that we try to avoid, that person at church that we sit over here so that we have to see them because they sit over there every Sunday. You know what I'm saying? God wants us to grow in favor with God and man, and how do we do that? We gain godly wisdom. We allow him to rule our emotions and our mind and our spirits. Jesus faced the same thing that we do every day. The Bible says very clearly that there's not anything that he has that we haven't faced that he doesn't understand, because he was fully God and he was fully man when he walked this earth. But here's the thing, is he faced the same things that we do every day. We read there were different results in his dealings with different and difficult personalities. He was kind and patient. Well, yeah, that's Jesus. I'm just me. Yeah, but you and I have the mind of Christ. Christ lives in us. We can be like Christ. That's what Christian means, is like Christ. A reflection, an example of Christ. In those difficult personalities and situations, he was kind and patient in his attempts to deal to perfect his trade. He didn't get discouraged, but he kept at it with a good attitude. He didn't say, well, I quit. He said, I'm going to try this again, and I'm going to try to perfect it. In all of his activities and dealings with people, he took the wisdom route, and he kept his attitude and his heart in check, gaining favor with both his heavenly Father and with those around him. He grew in that. He didn't just come out like, hey, I like Jesus. He grew in that. He consistently lived out what he professed, and he gained the favor of God and man as a result. Now, let's not miss this. This is what I want you to grab hold of. If you're sleeping now, wake up, and then you can go back to sleep after I read this paragraph to you. I don't want you to miss this powerful point of this important verse in Luke. God has something to teach us here, and here's the lesson that I want us to learn. Write this down. That God would send his own son to live and mature and labor in relative obscurity for some 3 decades. The mundane for 3 decades. The routine for 3 decades. Dealing with situations, growing in wisdom, growing in stature, growing in favor with both God and man. For 30 years he did that before he went public and gained recognition as that not only influential teacher, but the man who transformed the world. And that God did in those 3 decades has something to say to us about the dignity of the ordinary human life and labor. There's dignity in what you do every day of your life, in the ordinary of your life, in the routine, in the mundane, in the day-to-day. Because in that, there's an importance of incremental growth and maturation. Every day, every moment of the day, every circumstance you face, you're growing, if you allow it, in wisdom and in favor. Don't wait for the big events. Oh, one day I'm going to grow. No, you're doing it now in the mundane. There's dignity when you empty the dishwasher. There's dignity when you tell your kids to go to bed for the third time. There's dignity when you go to work and face these situations that you face and in the yard work that you do and in the stuff of life, there's dignity. And there's necessity in it. Because Jesus had to grow in that, and so must we. And he grew as a result of the mundane and the day-to-day and that ordinary human life and labor, and so must we. You know, God could have sent a full-grown Christ, couldn't he have? Just one day he could have popped onto the scene. 30 years old, here I am. Where'd you come from? God just made me 30 years old. Fully mature, fully wise, fully in favor with God and man, and fully ready to go. He grew up, though, just like you and me. He was born just like you and me. He experienced rejection and love and temptation and joy and sorrow and pain and happiness, just like you and just like me. Isn't that good to know? He struggled in the hard times and he laughed in the good times, just like you and just like me. He experienced growth and maturation in the common routine human life and labor, just like you and me. Before those 3 magnificent years of public ministry, he had 30 years of the ordinary, much like you and me. From the beginning, God could have created a world of static existence without infants and children and awkward teens and middle-agers and declining seniors. He could have, if he wanted to. Just a race of young and strong 20 and to 30-year-old somethings, adults, if he wanted to. But God didn't do it that way, and God doesn't do it that way. You see, God has designed you and me for a dynamic existence, for stages and seasons of life, for growth and development in body and in soul, both towards others and towards God. That's how he's designed you and me. John Mark experienced it. So did Timothy. And so are we if we allow it. And even if we don't allow it, know this, that in your day-to-day, you're growing. You're either growing towards God or you're growing towards the things of the world. You're growing, though. You're developing in some way. The wise person would say, wait a minute. I want to make sure that the things that I experience, my routine day-to-day dignifying work and labor and stuff that I do every day, I want to make sure that those things that I'm learning that are so intangible in some regards, I can't even put my finger on it sometimes, the things that I'm learning, but even those things that I don't even realize that I'm learning it, that I want to pray ahead of before I even get up out of bed in the morning is, Lord, everything that I face, every situation, whether it be stuff that I'm consciously aware of or whether it just passes by me in a way that I'm not aware of, but that I would be growing to be more like you through every mundane thing that I face so that I can be more like Christ in the things that are obvious and the things that are not so obvious, that I can be more wise every day, more wise like Christ, more godly wise, not worldly wise, because the Bible says that the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. The wisest man that has ever lived and, in fact, combined all the wisdom of all of man and is still debased foolishness when it comes to God. But God's wisdom, now that's a different story. And if you and I can get just 1 ounce of his wisdom, we're heading in the right direction. 1 iota every day, 1 just little smidgen every time something comes our way that says, God, here it is. I need your wisdom. I want to apply your wisdom. I want to grow in your wisdom today in this, not the world's wisdom. Then those mundane things, those routine things become all of a sudden pretty important, don't they? Because they make us more like Christ every moment of every day. John Mark experienced that. We saw him grow. Last week we saw how he went from someone who Paul said, I don't want him to be with us on this first tour. On the second tour, I should say, because he ran away on the first tour. But later on, Paul said, bring John Mark, because he's beneficial to me in the ministry. There was a growth that took place there with John Mark. We also see where Timothy, he grew up. He had a Greek father and a Jewish mother. You know, kind of a divided home right there. His father was probably not a believer. His mother was, and his grandmother was too, the Bible says. So he had a good heritage, but he also had some influence in the world. But Timothy chose the wise route, didn't he? And he embraced the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he accepted and obeyed the call to the ministry, and he submitted himself under the work of Paul and the discipleship of Paul. And he grew. He grew. He matured. He gained wisdom as well. You know, I've heard it said that we spend the first half of our lives looking forward to and imagining the future, and the last half of our lives looking back to and reliving the past. Yeah, I'm hearing some of you say it's true. It's true. And you know, wherever you may be in that continuum, let's be careful not to allow that to rule our lives. Now, for those of you who you would consider younger, and I'm not going to draw a line here, because you could be 80 years old and consider yourself younger, and that's fine. Good for you. Go for it. But for those of you who are younger, consider yourself younger, and you're still looking to the future, I want you to be careful that you're not so fixated down the road to this phrase that says, I wonder what my future is going to be like. When I grow up, and when I get married, and when I get a job, and when I do all these things, I wonder what my future is going to be like one day. Be careful not to live so much into that future tense that you don't embrace the lessons that are being learned today in your life. What you face on a daily basis is preparing you for the future. It's allowing you to grow in wisdom and favor. You know, there's dignity in this preparation, young people. So be careful not to overlook it or brush it under the carpet. And also don't think that your ministry is somewhere down the road. God has a plan for you now. Listen to me, young people. God has a plan for you now. He's created you for his use now. God has an assignment for you right now. So find out what that is and do with all your heart And don't wait for some time down the road, because now is the day. Today is the day of salvation. God has a plan for you now in where you are right now. God had a plan for Timothy at a younger stage with Paul and later on as a pastor. But God still used Timothy no matter where he was in the stages of his life. Bloom where you're planted, while at the same time growing in wisdom and in favor with both God and man as you embrace every challenge and learn from every lesson. And I hate to break this to you, young people. Brace yourself for this, but you don't know everything. And also, people older than you are not stupid. You know, you have much to learn, and you also have much to offer. You have much to glean from those who have a few years on you. So remember this, young people, this phrase right here, give and glean. What does glean mean? It means to, it's like you're harvesting. It's like you're drawing from, you're gleaning. So give and glean. Say that with me, young people, give and glean. Oh, you can do better than that, young people, give and glean. Write that down, give and glean. That means you're giving, but also you're taking, you're receiving. Give and glean. Give and glean. Paul himself wrote to Timothy, his spiritual son, wise words that you would be wise to heed. Write this down, 1 Timothy 4:12, and look at it later if you want to. But I'm going to read it to you. 1 Timothy 4:12 says this, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity." What a great verse for young people. Because it not only says that you have something to give, but also says that you have something to learn. He continues in verse 15 by saying this, "Be diligent in these matters." In other words, don't do it one day and not do it the next. Diligent means I'm going to do it every day, all the time, no matter what. No matter if I feel like it or not, I'm going to be diligent in it. I'm going to do it all the time. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly, not 50%, not 75%, not 99.9%. I'm going to give myself wholly to them so that everyone may see my progress. That's growing in favor with both God and man. That's exactly what Jesus did. And that's what Paul was instructing Timothy to do. Young Pastor Timothy wasn't perfect, but he was progressing. He was growing in wisdom and in favor with both God and man. He gave and he gleaned, and we would be wise to do the same. Now, for those of you who are on the other end of that spectrum, the older ones this morning within the sound of my voice, and you're looking maybe to your past glories, don't be so convinced this morning that your better days are in the past and that you've nothing to offer the kingdom of God. It's not true. You're not dead yet. Are you? God has given you experience and wisdom to use and to pass on. Don't look for a younger person to do the work that God has assigned for you to do. Oh, you don't know what I'm going through. Well, let me tell you somebody that's 85 years old in the book of Joshua, chapter 14, that was definitely not looking to the past. His name is Caleb. Not that Caleb. This Caleb. Now, the people of Judah approached Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb said to Joshua, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, he said these words, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.'" Now here's Caleb talking. "Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years. Do the math, 40 plus 45, 85 years old. Since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said." Now here's an 85-year-old guy, vigorous, strong, ready for battle, ready to kick out the Anakites and claim that land that was promised to him. He is not retiring. He's not sitting back saying, "Boy, I remember when I was 40 years old, that was really something back then, but my better days are past and I'm done now. And so, you know, just wheel me up to the thing there and I'll get the remote control and watch TV and eat and just kind of chill out and hope to God one day I'm going to die. It's going to be soon, I know." Because you know, what? He didn't. That wasn't nowhere in there. He said, "Hey, Joshua, remember when we were 40 years old and you and I came back with a good report and everybody else came back with a bad report? Moses says, I can have this land because I came back with a good report. Now I want my land. I've waited for 45 years and I want my land." I don't know. Joshua's saying, "This is a lot of people over there. I'll fight them. I'll kick their heinies. I'm ready to go. Me and my family, we're going to get them out of there. I want my land." He was looking forward. He was looking ahead at 85 years old. He was vigorous and anxious and excited and ready for battle. And I want to challenge you this morning that wherever you are on that spectrum, if you consider yourself older, your better days are still ahead. Your better days are still ahead. Hey, don't look to God. Don't look to the past and say, "Oh, I remember the days." You can do that, but don't live there. You're still on this side of the soil. God still got the breath of life in you. God still got a plan for your life. He's still got a calling on your life. He's still got, God, he's given you wisdom. He's given you experience. He's got a plan for you. He's not done with you yet. Don't you dare retire. Don't you dare get in that mindset that your better days are in the past. God has still much he wants to do through you for his glory. So let's not retire, but let's refire for him. You know, there's dignity in your senior years as well. You have much to offer the kingdom. Find someone to mentor. Look around. There's some young people around you. Young people, you would be wise to look around and see some of the older folks around you and say, "I think I want to hang around that guy. I want to hang around that lady. There's a lot I can learn from them." You'd be wise to glean while you're giving. Older folks, you'd be wise to find someone to mentor. Don't waste your life. I mean, don't die a year from now and say, "Boy, I sure wish I'd have poured my life into someone. What all God has taught me, all these things, all the wisdom that God has poured in my life, I want to pour it into someone else. I want to give what God has given me. I don't want to take it to the grave. I want to transfer it into someone else's life." You've got a lot to offer. Take every opportunity to speak into someone's life. Give of your experience, your wisdom. Give of your life. Fight the good fight until your final breath. I want to close with this. Amy, I'm not sure if you're feeling up to come into the piano. If you can. Actually, Linda, you want to, can you do this morning? You don't have anything? Okay, Amy, come on up if you can. Thank you so much. In fact, stand with me this morning. That way you're not staring at Amy coming up to the piano. You just know she's going to come up to the piano, and I don't want you to get distracted by that. Stand with me. I'm going to close here. Thank you, Amy. How many knows of the book entitled Of Mice and Men? You've ever heard that book? Yeah. Some of you probably hadn't quite got to that one yet, but it's a story of a man named Lenny who grew up physically. He grew in stature, but mentally and emotionally, he remained a child. Because he was a very large and powerfully built man, he caused a lot of harm to others, and he caused a lot of harm to himself. And in his awkward attempts to interact, he didn't do well. And then Lenny came to an early death at the hand of the best friend. I know, I just gave away the ending. Yeah. But he came to an early death at the hand of his best friend when his mistakes threatened to cause major trouble for both of them. And we can look at that story and we can see some parallels in our life. You know, I look around and I see for most of us, at least as the adults, we've grown up physically. We've grown up physically. God has been faithful. That DNA that's in each one of us that we can't do anything about causes us to grow. We grow from an infant to a child to an awkward teen to an adult, and here we are now as adults, most of us in this place. Some of you are going through the process of growing up still. We all grow up physically, but maybe we've neglected too often our spiritual growth, because that, my friends, is a choice, really. We can choose to grow up spiritually, but I'll say this, emotionally and in our ways of doing things, we're learning every day. And we can either learn to feed our spirit man and say, you know, I want to be more like Christ. I want to be like him as he grew in both wisdom and stature and also in favor with God and man. And if I'm to be like Christ, I want to do that too. I got the physical part down. I don't have to do anything with that one. Just sleep and eat and, you know, take care of my body. And I'll grow up physically. The whole wisdom thing, that's the choice I make. And I don't want the earthly wisdom, because this earthly wisdom is foolishness to God, and it's not going to do me any good. So what kind of wisdom did he grow up in? He grew up in godly wisdom, and so should I. As far as favor with God and man, boy, I want that too. Is everybody going to like me? No. Is everybody going to like you? No. But there's a favor that comes with living a right life, a righteous life, a good life, that you can't get any other way. And where all men may not like you all the time, God's always going to like you. And you can grow in favor with him as you honor God's word. You know, John, Mark, and Timothy did it. Jesus also grew up in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and man. And as those three are our examples, and Christ being the ultimate example, the lion's share of Jesus' earthly life powerfully dignifies what I'm talking about this morning. The everyday pains of maturity, the everyday pains of growth that are common to each one of us in this place here today. All of us have an opportunity to grow every situation that we face, and we can either pass the test or have to take it again. But every situation that comes your way, folks, is an opportunity for you to grow to be more like Christ. So let me just encourage you to do that. How do I do it? Christ is in you. He's there to help you. His Spirit is in you. You can tap into His Holy Spirit and say, in these crossroads of these situations that I'm facing, I choose godly wisdom instead of yielding to the flesh again. That's how we do it. And incrementally, that mundane, everyday routine stuff that we face, some a little bit bigger than others, some a little more profound than others, some a little more, really? Than others. All of it adds up and helps us to be more like Christ. So during this Christmas season, let's reflect on this and let's embrace the daily opportunities that God gives you and me, all of us, to grow in Christ. He's our example. He's our advocate. He's our Lord. He's our helper.